Welcome to Service Desk,
where we help users help themselves.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Andrew.
How has your week been?
Oh, it's been all right. It's been quieting down a little bit at work, which is letting us kind of get back to project work and less from the queue. So excited for that.
That's always nice. I've been doing nothing but new users set up recently. We have... Ooh. It's intern time, Andrew. And we have...
Summer.
Exactly. So we have a lot of graduating and incoming and all that. So it's good, but it's just a lot of tedious setups. So it gets old.
Did your client downtime get better?
Client downtime.
I think last time you said you had some servers that were going down and...
Oh, yes. No, that's all been resolved. We're actually in the process of moving a whole bunch of servers. We're going from an on-site facility to something off-site, hosted, managed 24/7, et cetera, et cetera. Because currently it's just our staff and none of us are technically there 24/7. But, of course, you get the alerts and whatever that you would get. But they are now going to have some better management of all that. So, hopefully, these kind of things aren't as big of a deal. Fingers crossed.
Well, yeah, hopefully, with the hosted things out there, which, to those listening...
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference between hosted, like, cloud... And then local. So a lot of hosted services are things that you have to have like an internet connection to get to. Whereas if you source it locally, it's on your own computers that your company owns. So if you ever hear someone say that they have a managed or hosted service, it usually means like it's your company going out to access a server in like Arizona or New Mexico. But if it's something that's local, that means that it's being run on your own company computers.
And sometimes that local can be kind of difficult to define because we've got, technically, we are local in our town, but we also have offices that are not in the same town, and they're technically all on the same network. So it's all local, but it's within our specific company's network. Mm-hmm. It's not based on location.
Yeah.
So that gets really confusing.
Yeah, we kind of do something similar where a lot of our locations have local servers to their building.
Mm-hmm.
And then those servers sync up with our servers.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting network-wide.
So consequently, if there's ever something like the network is down... But, like, you can still get to some file server. It might be that an external line, you can't get out to, like, Google or Amazon or whatever. But you can still get to things that are locally hosted. So this is why networking is a huge pain in the rear.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole nother world in itself.
Not exactly my cup of tea. I'll just... You know, replace hard drives and stuff.
Exactly. So I hear you have some news items here for us.
I do. They're kind of connected. So the first thing, I was reading a bit of security after all our malware talk. And there's this concept called the Internet of Things. Do you understand that, Andrew?
Yes, it's an Internet of Things. I think it's pretty clear.
You're so good at explaining things.
Yeah, it's all the different things, like your toasters, your mirrors, your toilets, everything that has a connection to the internet.
I really wish you were joking about the last two.
It exists.
I know. It's so weird.
But yeah, it's all your different devices, like your smart lights, your refrigerators, anything that's in your house that has a connection to the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
And this also applies to industrial stuff as well. So, you know, running the robots on the factory floor, etc. So this Internet of Things is all based on very, very tiny little microprocessors. And now they're starting to call them micro MCU, which I was all like, why would the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
That's what I just started.
Why? Anyway, so instead of calling them microprocessors, they're now microcontroller chips. And these, basically, they encompass a few more processes, which is really unimportant to the average Joe. But the processes are all needing to be controlled. And these things are very hackable right now because there's not really a lot of security around it. And there's one instance where a casino over in Great Britain actually had a bunch of their information stolen because some hackers got into the fish tank thermometer and were...
What?
I know! So through the fish tank in the lobby, which had a nice controllable thermometer, they were able to get into the system, get all the high roller database, and export it to the cloud.
Wow.
Which blew my mind. But Microsoft is kind of trying to help with that. They have announced this week that they are building Azure Sphere OS, which is intended to use Linux, ironically, to have an OS for this whole Internet of Things so that they can make sure they're secure. And by having, let me back up another step. Azure is Microsoft's current cloud software, Office 365, get all the information for the company in Microsoft's cloud. So they have this nice base to build on to be able to do updates and be able to control all the things that are wirelessly connected. So because of this, the Azure Sphere OS is going to be able to connect to this cloud, keep up to date, so theoretically more secure, and they should hopefully be able to have a more standardized IoT so that people can't hack your fish tank
and steal all your money.
Right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty exciting. That I was a little bit, it's been interesting to see where security was going to go in the future with all these devices that can't afford to make their own security, so to speak. So
exactly.
I suppose it only makes sense to have one point which does the security for them.
And it's interesting because Linux is a whole nother operating system, and they have built open source software, which is how Microsoft can just use it. And they usually have like different distributions. So like Ubuntu is one distribution of Linux that they had actually been focusing on the Internet of Things, and they've been trying to make it more secure and kind of make it be their thing, but they are now going to have to deal with Microsoft, so good luck with that.
Yeah, Microsoft has that market penetration.
Indeed, they do.
Well, I suppose in the personal computer world, at least.
Well, even in regular business, I would say I think most companies I've dealt with have had at least Windows on the desktops.
Yeah, that's true.
Plenty of business.
So we were kind of hitting on the nose when we were talking about the hosted and local server side of things earlier with our topic, which today is backups.
Oh, Andrew, you're not going to like my answer to that.
Oh.
So I got a new computer and I use like Google Cloud and OneDrive, but I've not actually backed up my computer.
Well, I suppose, have you done anything yet, at least, that needs backed up?
Like every podcast we've done. But they're in Google, I'm fine, right?
Fair point, I suppose. Better than nothing. Backing up is something that I've always been kind of anal retentive about, and probably overprotective on my own stuff.
Fair.
But no, it's something that I think a lot of people don't pay enough attention to that you really should. So I'm excited to do a little bit of talking about it today.
Absolutely. So I know at work, all of our servers are backed up nightly. We have tape drives. They store them off-site in some cold storage locker. And we have redundant sites as well. So we have our server room, a server room over in some other city, etc., etc. What should we do at home?
So it's kind of the same with businesses and consumer side of things. I like to follow a 3-2-1 system. So every file that you don't want to lose, you should have 3 copies of that. And these are documents like, you know,
your resume.
Yeah, exactly. Your resume, maybe your W-4, tax return documents, anything that you don't want to lose, old school files.
My dissertation on Romeo and Juliet's going to come in handy someday. I know it.
Right? My speech on how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich from high school. I think I still have that. I probably do. I don't know why, but yeah, you should have 3 copies of those peanut butter and jelly sandwich speeches.
Absolutely.
One of those should be like an active copy, so something that you can access right away, so like on your computer. One should be on a storage medium, so something like external hard drive.
Sure.
Or a flash drive that you have. And then one of those should be off-site, in kind of what they call cold storage. So something that is a little bit more of a process to get to,
right,
but is being protected outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So I have traditionally had my working copy, and then I'll have probably like 4 different copies locally on like hard drives and flash drives. And then I'll do like Google Drive, Amazon, OneDrive, all these different like cloud storages out there. And I've had to like narrow that down myself because that's just a ton of things to try and manage. And then it's like, which one has the most recent copy and version?
I run into issues. I've used OneDrive, Google Drive, Apple, iCloud, and Dropbox. And so I don't want to pay money for any of these. So I'm like, okay, I have as much as I can fit here. That's full. Let's put them over in Google, etc. And so I have a disaster.
So what I would suggest for people who are doing it themselves, Google Drive and Microsoft both have solutions where you get about, I think at the time of this recording, you'll have around 15 gigabytes each on those services, which is a very fair amount of storage space for people with personal files, especially if they're just documents like text files, your W-4s, tax returns, anything like that.
But what about pictures?
Pictures are a whole nother beast in themselves. If you pay for Amazon Prime, you have unlimited photo backup at the time of this recording, of course. Like, all this stuff is hard because it can change.
Right.
There's different solutions out there. I'm not gonna really talk too much about photos because those are just a whole nother beast in themselves.
Maybe a different episode?
Exactly. They take up so much space, and there's a whole bunch of different solutions specifically made for them out there.
Okay, we'll talk about that next time.
There you go. What I would suggest doing is, so you have, you know, your document that you keep on your computer. This is the one that you're going to see, work with. If you open up Word, it's going to be the one that you probably look in your recent files.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing that you're going to access the most often. Work with that, you know, change it, edit it, and then every so often, maybe like once a week or so, make a change, back that up to an external hard drive somewhere. These could be like the Seagate backups, the Western Digital, maybe a flash drive, just something like that, that you can unplug from your computer, or maybe just leave plugged into your computer. Just something that's different from your computer.
And the reason for that particular step.
Yeah.
Hard drives have a tendency to fail. Like I said, I like replacing hard drives, but it's a pain in the rear for the person who loses everything. If you have your documents on 2 different hard drives, you're at least saving something, if nothing else.
Yep. And they're both local to you, so it's really easy for you to access it.
Right.
You don't have to really go out of your way.
And remember your password and all that jazz.
And you have your local one, and then you have your local external copy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the important one, though, is to keep your off-site or your cloud-hosted one. This is the one that is a little more harder to manage. Maybe it doesn't have the most up-to-date copy or version.
Sure.
But this is going to be the one that you put out on Google Drive, Microsoft OneNote, or not OneNote,
OneDrive.
Microsoft OneDrive, which is built into Windows, pretty easy to get into. Oh, Dropbox is another popular one.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be the one that's important. I like to do it twice a month, run a backup on those.
Do you have anything like that synced on your computer?
I have a lot of documents, so I don't sync.
Okay, fair.
That's a good option. Dropbox will have automatic syncs, so it's really easy to do. I think Google Drive does as well. And then OneDrive, you can just throw documents in there like you're working on your computer.
Yes, and all of those options you can also get to from the web. So if you're on a different computer elsewhere and you really need that peanut butter and jelly speech, you can log in just through a browser and get to your stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they're really affordable if you do need to go beyond that 15 gigs. I pay for Google, which is, I think, $1.99 for 100 gigabytes a month.
That's not bad.
Exactly. And if you don't worry about, I like to stay with one ecosystem for the majority of my work. Amazon has solutions where you pay as little as $4 a month for a terabyte of access, which is a ton of space.
It's 1,000 gigabytes, yeah.
If you do have like a lot of photos, if you do have a lot of audio files, if you have a lot of videos, you'll probably want to go for a terabyte hosted. Places like Amazon, Microsoft, and Google are all going to give you probably the best bang for your money.
Right.
Other solutions out there like Dropbox are nice. I find them to be a little more expensive, but it might work better for you, so it's all worth giving a shot.
And you can kind of do a little research too, you know, ask friends, see what they think. I know that I've had a lot of people recommend like note products so that I just don't lose stuff, but then you have to like actually create the document in that product. So like Evernote is one, or OneNote from Microsoft. That goes along with the OneDrive, because one, everything's one. Anyway.
Everything.
Anyway, so those are options for just like organizing yourself, but I've not found them to be particularly good at helping me keep other things backed up.
Yeah, no, it all depends. I would suggest if you were going to invest in an ecosystem. So like when I say ecosystem, I mean like Google, Microsoft, it's helpful to stay in that. So if you have all your files backed up in Google Drive, you know, it's easy to work with Google Keep, which is their, you know, note system. And
yeah. And Google does have their whole documents and Excel and all that, which I don't know. I kind of move between all of them. At this point, I need to make a decision.
And a lot of these systems, like if you use Google Drive, if you create a Word file using Google Docs, sorry, I shouldn't say Word. If you create a doc file using their product, a lot of the times they don't count that.
Oh.
It's like a free document.
That's handy.
So if you have, I don't know what you would have in a 1 gigabyte Word file. But if you have a 1 gigabyte text document, Word file, they won't count that as part of your quota, as long as it was
made with them. It's my novel, okay?
Right.
I've been working on it for a decade.
It's my fan fiction.
We won't get into fan fiction just now. I've actually never written fan fiction. Anyway.
But yeah, so that's about all I have.
So what about like Carbonite or some of these other automated backup solutions?
Oh, yes. Oh, I haven't done a lot of it myself, but those are really good as well. If you kind of want to just set it and forget it,
that would be ideal.
Those are really good options. Carbonite, so what happens is you pay for the service, and it's just always running. As soon as you make a change to any document, it'll just upload that change to a server, and then you're good to go. So that takes care of your offsite storage need. You have your local, you have your hard drive / flash drive storage. This is your cloud backup. So instead of you going out yourself, putting it out on Google Drive, Amazon servers, it's doing that for you to Carbonite.
Right. And with those, I do know, I've never done it myself, but I helped someone else. It takes forever to do the first backup because it has to look at everything and go through file by file by file. And yeah, it takes forever.
But those are really helpful. Definitely look at those if it's something that you're interested in. You are going to pay a little more for it. And it is a subscription service. So as soon as you are done paying for it and you stop, you're going to lose access to those files.
That is one thing to consider, yes. Yep.
Which is, to be fair, the same with pretty much anywhere you go, even if you do Google Drive.
Yes. I think it's worth that, especially if you've already got local copies, and then you can get to whatever you need Google-wise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about all I have in the realm of backups, sir.
Excellent. So as always, you can send your questions to us. We are on Twitter at Service Desk Pod. Facebook, you can reach us, facebook.com/Service Desk Podcast. And as always, you can submit a ticket to servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com.
And our website is up at servicedeskpodcast.com.
Huzzah!
Make sure to rate and review us on wherever you listen to us, especially if it's iTunes.
I'm Kim.
I'm Andrew.
And we're your techie friends.
Have a good rest of your week.